T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The senator tweeted, "What? Jordana and Paul here. Thank you so much for spending some time with us today. Oh, my goodness. No abbreviated show today. Well, actually, 5:30 is when the Twins start, so we have a pregame show at 5:30.
There's no danger of crickets. There's no danger of a slow news day, a boring news day. Do you remember those?
No.
Not lately.
Here's what I woke up to. Senator Scott Newman. Now you're thinking, Jor, who's Senator Scott Newman? Who is that person? Senator Scott Newman is a Republican senator from the 18th district, McLeod, Meeker, Sibley, Wright counties. Mm-hmm. He tweeted about this Kavanaugh Ford most recent allegations. "Even if true, teenagers!" exclamation point. "Frankly, I don't believe her. Almost 40 years, and now she righteously comes forward to save us from a dangerous sex offender. This type of allegation seriously jeopardizes women with a legitimate claim, for who will believe them?" I will believe them, Senator. And people should believe victims of sexual assaults.
By the way, back on August 31st, George, Senator Newman likened the allegation against Attorney General candidate Keith Ellison to people like Harvey Weinstein, Matt Lauer, Charlie Rose, people who've been disgraced because of sexual allegations, sexual assault, et cetera.
So it's totally partisan on his part.
Well,
if a Democrat does it, it's disgraceful. But if a Republican does it, then frankly, I don't believe her. That's a quote from Senator
Scott
Newman.
But isn't this
good job?
This is all a Rorschach test, right? I mean, depending on your political proclivities, depending on which way you lean, either she's making it up, talking about Christine Ford. Either she's making it up or, hey, you know, let's listen to her. She has a legitimate gripe. She should be heard.
And you know who wants to listen to her? Our president.
So it's unfortunate. He is an incredible man. He's an incredible intellect. He will make an incredible Supreme Court justice. But we feel that we want to go through a process. We want to hear both sides.
Good job, Mr. President. Good job, Mr. President. I don't think anybody has ever asked not to be heard. Ms. Ford is asking to be heard, and Judge Kavanaugh should be heard. That's what we want. That's what we talked about on the show yesterday. Just delay the hearing a little bit so both sides are heard.
And they're both going to be heard Monday of next week. Right?
Now, is she going to be able to testify privately? Is that the very latest? I thought I saw a headline on that. Right as we were coming on the show.
It's hard
to keep up with everything that's changing the minute we're walking into the studio. So we are going to take a look at that. By the way, the president also said he doesn't think the FBI should investigate Kavanaugh, but he does believe both sides should be heard. We can go round and round of, oh, do you believe her? You believe him? This kind of thing. We're not going to know the truth. We might never, ever, ever know the truth. But Senator Scott Newman's tweet, and by the way, we reached out to Senator Scott Newman's office. Hammer, our producer today, Craig, reached out. I reached out personally. I got a call back from a lovely woman named Katie there. She told me, today the senator doesn't have any cell service, nor will he have cell service for a week.
I'd like to go to that place.
I said,
where is
really?
That place?
I chuckled a little. And she goes, I know. He had cell service when he tweeted out the tweet, but he's not going to have cell service for a week. I said, okay, well, does your office want to make a comment or a response to the uproar about his tweet? And she said, nope. I said, okay, well, please, when he is back within cell service realm, Earth, please let him know that we'd love to have him on the show.
Sure, what I'm thinking, maybe a GoFundMe page
to get him some cell service,
a better carrier. because I want to go to that place where there is no cell service.
Oh, a whole week. A whole week.
Boundary Waters, mm-hmm. you know, okay, I could see it. Parts of Wyoming and Montana.
The outrage on Twitter is extreme. You know, you can feel free to look at the tweets. Christopher Moore tweets, taking a screenshot of this, Senator, because if you ever run for office again, every woman in your state that you'll know it's okay to rape a teenager. Well done, you bleeping monster. Again, we are not saying that Judge Kavanaugh raped a teenager. The allegation is that he tried to. We are not convicting him. Absolutely not. Paul and I would never say anything of the sort. This is some responses to the tweet. And you can feel free to read them on your own. They were really challenging to read.
But again, this Christine, do you say it, Blasey?
Yeah.
Christine mm-hmm. Blasey mm-hmm. Ford, mm-hmm. she did take a polygraph, and mm-hmm. she came out to what, her marriage counselor and her husband back in, I think, 2012.
Yeah, even before then. Yes, yes, the marriage counselor
long before mm-hmm. Judge Kavanaugh mm-hmm. was nominated to take a Supreme Court seat.
And there are notes from her therapy sessions where she is going through therapy with the counselor, talking to her husband. She told a personal therapist, who then encouraged her to tell a marriage therapist because maybe this incident was causing trouble in her marriage. When somebody is sexually assaulted, recovery is very hard. They can have a lot of PTSD from that. So if that happened to her, then she has been struggling with it for a very long time. So there is proof of that in the notes. And like you said, Paul, from 2012.
And people say, well, why didn't she come out right away? I mean, that was one of my reactions. Why didn't she come out right away? Mm-hmm. A lot of times, first of all, if it happened, let's assume that her story is true and that it holds up.
Start with believing the victim.
There's trauma. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't come forward right away because it's a form of PTSD from what I understand. Many victims of sexual abuse fear retaliation, that they won't be believed, mm-hmm. that their family will be angry. They're worried about going public for fear of being thought of perhaps as, I don't know, damaged goods. Mm-hmm. So again, and she didn't come forward from what I understand because for this very reason. She was worried that she would be attacked, that her family would be attacked.
That's exactly
her
what's
credibility
happening.
Would mm-hmm. be attacked. And in essence, that she would be victimized a second time.
And she was right. And she was right. From people like a senator from Minnesota. Even if it's true, teenagers, frankly, I don't believe her. Almost 40 years, and now she self-righteously comes forward to save us from a dangerous sex offender. Now he's saying her allegations seriously jeopardize women with a legitimate claim. Senator, shame on you. The greater problem here, Paul, and I think that's what you're getting at with all of this, is the way we treat victims of sexual violence. The fact that most aren't reported.
Male and female.
Of course. Most aren't reported because they're afraid of the backlash. I've gotten to experience this with the women that I'm talking to through the podcast that I'm doing mm-hmm. With the Star Tribune, Inside the News, Investigating Rape. And I'd like to share some of their stories with you, their experiences when they came forward. And the first responder, a police officer or investigator, did not believe them. I'm going to share that with you after the break. But we have a couple of phone calls waiting. Should we get to at least one of them?
Yeah, let's try.
Katie's in Blaine. Yeah. Katie, you want to jump in, love? Thanks for calling. I'm trying to click her hammer.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
You got
Diana.
It.
I have to ask this question. I've been listening to all this about Judge Kavanaugh, and I'm not a Republican. I'm a Democrat. But I still think about it, and I think 35 years ago, how can you judge something that happened 35 years ago with today's standards? How can you do that?
But don't some things transcend? I mean, you talk about today's standards, but if, in fact, she was sexually assaulted, if she was held down, that was as bad now as it is then. I mean, I don't understand why there would be a shift in standards. I don't think it was okay back in the 1970s or 60s or whenever this happened.
Good point. Katie?
Well, can I say one more
yes,
thing?
Yes, sure. Please.
Yeah,
yes,
please.
Of
okay, so I worked at Honeywell for how many years? And at that time, it was looked at as, well, somebody must have done something to bring that on.
Yep.
And
mm-hmm.
I understand that. I mean, that kind of a, you know, connotation. is very much looked at in that view. But I'm just saying, in 83, if you look back at the laws, and what are the statute of limitations? Isn't there a statute of limitations on this kind of a thing?
Not in Maryland.
Not in Maryland. Nope.
There isn't.
It varies state by state, but not in Maryland.
Okay, so there is no statute of limitations. Okay. And then you can go to this point, too. I got to bring one more.
Yeah, go ahead, sweetie.
Okay, so, I mean, what happens? Okay, so you made a mistake. Now, isn't it allowed we can make a mistake? I don't think, I mean, for sure, it wasn't rape. Yes, he was drinking, which was acceptable at that time. You just don't know. You don't know a lot of the circumstances that took place.
Katie, you make a good point here. This is a good point, Paul, that we haven't addressed yet.
Okay.
If the judge comes out and says, you know what, I barely remember it because I was loaded, and if I did something inappropriate with someone, I apologize, but I don't remember because I was super drunk with my friends, and I'm really sorry about this. I think this whole conversation would be having a different tone.
Well, the reason we have statutes of limitations is because, George, it's difficult to defend yourself when somebody makes an accusation against you from many years ago. It's difficult to have witnesses or forensics. But in this case, we do have a witness. That person who was in the room, mm-hmm. allegedly, mm-hmm. with Mr. Kavanaugh, guy by the
name
of
Mark
Judge.
Judge. Mm-hmm.
And even Christine Blasey Ford calls Mark Judge an essential witness. So you can bet that he's being interviewed right now by the FBI and maybe others to see if the story holds up, if he can corroborate what Professor Ford has come out with publicly.
Kate, you made great points, and I'm really glad you got in. Thank you so much for the call. We see your calls. Kate's point about you bringing something on yourself. Well, if there was an attack, you must have done something. Your skirt must have been too short. You must have led somebody on. That's not back in the day in Honeywell. That attitude exists today. It exists in our society. It exists on our police departments. It exists on the Supreme Court.
You were asking for it?
Exists everywhere.
You had it coming?
When we return, you will hear the stories of women who will tell you they are victims of this exact attitude. You'll hear those stories in their own words on CCO. You're about to hear a comment by a woman named Alyssa. She was, within the last few years, raped here in Minneapolis. This is her first interaction with the police officer when she reported.
One of the things he said that first night in the parking lot was, well, maybe if you would have gone to church and met a nice guy, this wouldn't have happened.
You wonder why women don't report their rape. She is one of many. I will be playing sound bites from the women that I have talked to during this series, Denied Justice and Investigating Rape, that we've been doing. It happens every day.
And this is why more people don't come forward, right?
So because sad.
It's like sticking your face in a buzzsaw.
That's exactly what it is.
The media backlash.
And you're 17 and you feel alone and somebody else is powerful, you don't come forward. And then those people are free to attack again.
But again, this we should be able to corroborate this in terms of specifically mm-hmm. Judge Kavanaugh, mm-hmm. right? There was somebody else in the room. Mm-hmm. Where is that person? Get that mm-hmm. person under oath.
Mm-hmm.
And again, as part of the nomination process, Judge Kavanaugh has done a series of interviews with the FBI. Was he forthcoming in telling this story if, in fact, it happened?
Yeah.
Or
and
not?
Hey, if you don't remember, go talk to your friend, Mark Judge. He might remember. Go ask some people. Like, now we kind of need some answers right now.
And Jura and I talked about this before the show. All of us do stupid stuff,
for
right?
Sure.
It's part
for
of being
sure.
a teenager.
But Paul,
I still do stupid stuff, but no, have I assaulted a woman? I think I would have remembered that, drunk or not drunk, and no, I haven't.
Marie's in Richfield. Marie, your thoughts. Thanks for waiting on the line.
Just, I was reacting to the woman who was talking at 35. It happened 35 years ago.
Yes.
And, you know, why should, I think her essence was, why should we bother? I was 14. I wasn't raped, but I was in a situation where a man or boy exposed himself to me. I've held on to that. That was 40 years ago. Mm-hmm. You know, he just exposed himself to me in a home. I still remember it, and it still makes me angry. Now, I'm not going to use it against it. I don't understand why, but I did talk to him. But I did talk to him in our adulthood, and I said, do you remember doing this? You really made me angry. He's like, no, I have no memory of it. How in the world can men just get by with, oh, I have no memory of it?
It's our culture.
And it's wrong.
It's the way they devalue how they treat you. And by some of the texts, I'm seeing we are continuing to devalue women's feelings and women's bodies. And it's today you saying this out loud, Marie, mm-hmm. thank you for calling in. Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing your story mm-hmm. because there are so many women out there that still feel like this is my fault or I did something wrong or I did something to bring this on. Mm-hmm. And no, you did nothing wrong. And women who are attacked did not do nothing wrong. It's their perpetrator or men who are attacked, excuse me, both.
Mm-hmm.
We have to start blaming the perps, mm-hmm. not the victims. And yes, we should have investigations. Yes, mm-hmm. absolutely. Mm-hmm. Due process. Thank God we live in America. But it starts with believing our victims. Thank you, Marie, for the call.
Yeah, thank you, Marie. Look at what's happening with the Catholic Church, all these allegations.
Should they not come forward 40
right.
years
and,
later
and
after being raped
cases,
by a priest?
Women and men
yeah.
coming forward 30, 40, 50 years later, they've been traumatized. It took
yeah.
them a long time to work up the courage to go public, knowing there'd be backlash against them and their family. So it's eerie, some of the similarities there.
And let's not get lost in the weeds. We can use this story for a deeper conversation about sexual violence against people and how victims are treated. Look, it's what I know I'm preaching the choir here, but it's what the Star Tribune has been doing. How is sexual violence looked at in our culture? And what do we need to do to change it? Because as I said yesterday, if we excuse someone's behavior when they were 17 and they get to be a Supreme Court justice, let's just hypothetically say that this was a fact and that he did it. Let's just say, what is that teaching my son? I'm not saying he did it. I'm not saying anything about Brett Kavanaugh right now. What does that say to our kids if we keep excusing this behavior? If you keep grabbing women by the P word and rising to the highest office in the land, what does that say to my son? That he can do it. And you know what? He might someday do it if that's what his role model is. So keep in mind, it might have been a long time ago. It might have been locker room talk. But if we're perpetrating that today, those are the lessons we're teaching. Do you want to teach those lessons? I don't. We'll be right back on CCO.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
I remember before he hit play, he told me, well, you wouldn't be in this situation if you weren't so provocative. If you didn't act provocatively, if you didn't invite these situations upon you, you wouldn't be here. And I couldn't believe it because I was the victim. I hadn't done anything wrong. I wasn't wearing a short skirt or a see-through blouse. And it wouldn't have mattered if I had, because I had said no. But that didn't matter to him, and I knew that from the start. I feel like he just called me a slut.
That was a woman named Haley who was recently raped in Minnesota. She's part of our next podcast, Inside the News, investigating rape and her experience with the officer allegedly investigating, working on behalf of her to get her rapist. By the way, her case was never charged because they claimed there wasn't enough evidence, even though she had text messages from her perpetrators admitting it. So when people say, where's the evidence? Where's the evidence? You can still have evidence and your case goes nowhere. We live in a culture where we do not believe victims of sexual violence.
But there is this meme, this belief out there among some, I hope it's not a majority, who say, well, yeah, you were dressed a certain way,
oh,
or you were in a bad part of town, or you were
shame.
Out after midnight.
For shame.
One of our listeners on the comment line, writes, ladies, why dress provocatively if you aren't advertising?
You.
Do you have any comment, any response to that, George?
On this eve of Yom Kippur, where I'm supposed to be atoning for my sins tomorrow, I will refrain from comment. The listeners can laugh at that person on their own.
Another person asks, what about Keith Ellison? Where's the Democratic outrage?
There's plenty of it. Plenty of it. If he sexually assaulted his ex-girlfriend, goodbye. Goodbye, Keith Ellison. You're done. Right? Who's voting for somebody who sexually assaulted somebody? I'm not.
So this cuts across partisan lines, right?
There's plenty of outrage to go around.
It swings both ways.
Right? Good. Franken resigned. He was accused also. He felt, okay, I can't go on like this. I mean, the president asked him to resign because of his incident. I guess the president feels differently about Brett Kavanaugh. But you know what? Franken said, I'll absolutely. If I did something wrong, even whatever he felt about it or not, the women said, yeah, you did something wrong. And he resigned.
Another person asks on the comment line, what if she is lying?
It will be proven if she is lying.
My first reaction is, what incentive does she have to make this up? I mean, is it to sell a book? Is it for fame, for glory, for 15 minutes of really?
Let's keep in mind. Maybe she's lying, but it's in her therapy notes from 2012. She also passed an FBI polygraph test.
Is Brett Kavanaugh going to take a polygraph?
I don't know. I don't know about that. I don't know what the hearings
will entail. Is that beneath the dignity of a judge, sitting judge?
I don't know the answer to that. I'll have to Google that for you and get back to you.
Have your people contact my people.
Oh, my goodness. I haven't even been looking. Hold on. We got folks on the line here. Mike's in Rosemount. Hi, Mike. Thanks for calling in and joining the conversation.
Yeah, good afternoon. And it kind of was just what Paul just said kind of leads into my – it kind of surprised me a little bit what Paul just said when he said, what? Why would she say this? Why would she lie? I was just wondering if you guys would host another call later on sometime about victims of false accusations. In my example, I worked for a guy at CompUSA, a store manager, and he closed one night, you know, at closed the store. And then the next day or two, the lady that he closed the store with, who was an ops manager, she made a claim against him that as they were closing, he made inappropriate,
advances.
Yeah,
move. Yeah, advances. Mm-hmm. And anyway, so it went pretty high. She reported that to CompUSA headquarters when they were still here in Minneapolis, and it went on up and she stuck to her story all the way until it finally came to court, and she finally broke down. And what she said was that she wanted to come up with these claims, hoping that his wife would leave him and that she would have a shot at being with him.
And she admitted
that it never happened. So that would be a kind of a thing for you guys to do. Have a call in of victims of false claims. But my other point to this, does it give either of you any pause that the attorney for this lady now was also the attorney for Bill Clinton, and she attacked Paula Jones with the claim that she was a gold digger and that she was just looking for PR. And, I mean, she said the exact same things about Paula Jones that she's now trying to fight off comments coming for this lady.
Terrible.
It's kind of weird that she's on the flip side of the coin.
Yeah.
So,
gosh, I certainly could never excuse somebody's behavior, but she's probably just being a lawyer.
Well, look, the whole Me Too movement, it's more than just women's justice. It's more than social justice. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's kind of turning into a political movement, right? Women are saying, hey, you're going to hear us, and we vote. By the way, P.S., we vote.
That's true. Yes.
And people say, well, why did it take so long? I think, and I don't know the answer, but I suspect maybe it took Professor Ford many, many years and a lot of therapy to work up the courage to come forward. People say, well, why a few days before the hearing? Her response is she feels that she has a civic responsibility, that she has a responsibility to the public to make this known. You know, could she, should she have come forward years ago? Maybe. I don't know.
And you know what? We don't get a choice in that. If she's a victim, she gets, it's her story to tell. She gets to tell it whenever and wherever she wants to tell it. Susan, you have been waiting so long in Iowa. Thank you for calling in, Susan.
Hey, Susan.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I was intrigued by the woman who spoke about cultures changing. And I do believe some cultures are changing, not the ones necessarily for the people who have been assaulted, but more for the people who are caring for them. At least I hope that's the case. In my case, I was in a state far away, and it was 46 years ago, and that was 1972, when Roe versus Wade had not started. I am never a believer in Roe versus Wade, and even if I had become pregnant when I was raped, I would never have aborted a child. That's not in my being. But I would tell you that when I woke up in hospital housing and I had a man sitting on the bed next to me with a knife at my throat, I had absolutely nothing that I could do to defend myself. And I'm a pretty assertive woman, and I felt so horrible that this had nothing to do with what he thought it was, and everything to do with what I knew it was, and that was trying to be dominant in a situation to make himself feel better by demeaning someone else that he didn't even know. And as I was thinking about this when I was going to go on the air, it made me almost have a panic attack, because just reliving it sometimes is hard. I got a little sick to my stomach and short of breath. But what happened was that the police said, oh, come on, just admit it. You're pregnant and wanted a free abortion. And I said, I don't even remember what I said. I was so appalled, I probably didn't say anything. And they continued to question me in that regard. And finally, they took me to the emergency room, it seemed like hours later. And the nurse there was a nurse who had been there for years. I was 21 years old. I'd never had an exam. I didn't know what any of this was. She said, oh, buck up. You're a nurse. You know what's happening. Well, you know what? When you're a nurse, you know. When you're a rape victim, all of your knowledge goes out the window. So my hope is that people are being treated better now when they make an allegation, because no one but them knows what went on. And as Jordana keeps saying, everybody has a right to be heard. And whether it happens 5 years ago or 10 years ago or 46 years ago, it is a trauma that you never get over. So I'm praying that people keep this in mind when they're trying to make judgments about other people that they know nothing about, and trying to say that the so-called, quote, victim, in your words, is making it up. Don't jump to justice. Don't jump to judgment so quickly. You're not the judge.
Susan, you are amazing. You are amazing, and you are strong and powerful, and we thank you for sharing your story here with us.
Thank you for your eloquence and the courage it took to say that.
It was tough, but thank you for listening.
Susan, stay on the line. I want to talk to you during the commercial break and say hi.
Ugh.
It's 3:52. We'll be right back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.